call this meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission to order.
Good morning. I call this regular meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission to order. It's Thursday, April 27th, 2023. I'm Commissioner Randy Christman and joined by Commissioners Sherry Haugenhoffert and Julie Fedorchak. So we have a quorum. Before we get started, will you all please stand and join me in reciting the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. My only opening comments, I kind of forgot about this portion of our meeting. Contrary to what the calendar might have looked like back in January, the session is still not wrapped up. That was my presumption with this meeting schedule date. A lot of our bills directly are done, but there are still some bills that either certainly do or could have major impacts on us, so still a very hectic time, so I'll just limit my opening comments to that. Commissioner Haugenhoffert.
Thank you, Commissioner. Yesterday was Administrative Professional Assistance Day, and I was out of the office, so I couldn't celebrate with our staff, so I want to recognize the five individuals who I feel are the first point of contact with this office and do a tremendous job on keeping this office running, from providing good customer service, working with the day-to-day workflow. So at this time, I want to thank Pamela, Amy, Shelley, Jerry, and John for their great work that they do. And let's continue the celebration of all your fine work. So thank you for a job well done.
Very good point. Thank you. Commissioner Fedorchak.
Thank you, Randy. And Sherry, thank you for mentioning that. That completely slipped by me. So we clearly need to do something to honor those folks like we did last year, and we'll have to do a late celebratory event of some sort. So my apologies for missing that yesterday. And I hope it isn't viewed as an indication of our any less appreciation for all the work that you guys do, because you are just a vital part of the team and keep things rolling here. So we'll make that celebration fun. I don't have any other opening comments.
Well, you both put that very well, and we need to do something more here yet. We only have one item on the consent agenda in addition to the meeting, to the minutes from the previous meeting, so I move approval of those.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, and then moving into our regular agenda items, I have just one thing on the calendar today. It's in regard to the Falkirk mine. Three permits together, numbers NAFK 8405, 8705, and 9503 are bonded as one consolidated bond area. That area is currently covered by a collateral bond in the amount of $103,350,000. And that's backed by an irrevocable standby letter of credit issued by by BNC National Bank on behalf of Rainbow Energy for the Falkirk Mining Company. Falkirk recently updated the worst-case reclamation cost estimate for the consolidated mine area, and the minimum bond amount increased to just under $115 million, so an increase of over $10 million. And that increases in the variable costs that are reviewed annually by the Reclamation Division. To meet the new minimum bond amount, Falkirk provided a check in the amount of $11,473,633 for a new cash collateral bond that will be held in escrow at the Bank of North Dakota. The escrow agreement for the new collateral bond will need to be executed by the Commission as well as the Bank of North Dakota following Commission approval of this motion. So there's going to be a little bit more signing than normal.
Mr. Chair, I don't believe there's a motion on the floor yet.
Yeah.
No, that was the consent agenda.
Oh. I don't think you ever made the motion.
Yep.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
No, that's fine.
Good point. Thank you,
you
Steve.
You just jumped right into your comment.
I guess.
Well, they're good comments.
I
see why you were eager.
I move the Commission approve collateral bond number CB-9503-6 in the amount of $11,473,633, covering the consolidated bond area that includes surface coal mining permits NAFK-8405, 8705, and 9503, held by the Falkirk Mine and the Falkirk Mining Company collateral bond permits NAFK-8405, 8705, 9503. Case number RC-23-160.
Second.
Okay, would anybody like me to repeat the parts that I said in discussion?
I have no questions.
I have a little bit more to follow up on.
Well,
it
yeah,
should be on
I
the record.
Should.
So I'll just proceed from where I left off. So this new collateral bond reflects the addition of just under 3,360 acres to permit number 8405 with pending revision 42 that is expected to be approved at the next commission meeting. So that's already calculated in. And then other acreage changes that occurred in the consolidated bond area during the last year, which includes bond releases 3 and 4 to permit number 8405, and the deletion, if you remember our last meeting, of the 9.4 undisturbed acres, that was revision number 34 to permit 9503. The collateral bond documents were properly executed, and the Reclamation Division recommends approval. I just want to point out for anyone doing the math from when I said that it's going from $103,350,000, which I think just about there's over $100 million of bonding, I think almost can't be emphasized enough how significant that is. But going up from there to just under $115 million, if you do the math that they have this $11.473 million check, the math doesn't come out quite right. They actually added a little extra as just sort of a cushion. And so it's actually more than what we'd have required if we did it to the exact amount. So with that, I hope we can pass this motion.
So just a clarification on that. So if they added a little extra, what happens if to the extra if it's not needed?
Well, if something happened and they, let's say they just walked away from it and the mine stopped, we'd have this total amount for us to do reclamation.
Okay.
In the very end, if there were excess, I suppose they would get it back.
Refund.
But we would have access to it.
Okay.
As a cushion.
Okay.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio. Commissioner Haugenhofer.
Thank you, Chris.
Turn it over to you.
Yep. I move the Commission adopt the order on consent agreement in Public Service Commission Cable 1 Incorporated, better known as Sparklight Damage Prevention Enforcement Case Number DM-22-369.
Second.
Thank you. So on September 19th, 2022, the Commission received a North Dakota One Call complaint from Merit Landscaping Design alleging a violation by Cable 1. So with the complaint, the commission staff began their investigation, and it was upon their investigation, they noted that Merritt provided an excavation notice to the North Dakota One Call Center to begin work on September 13th, 2022. On September 9th, Sparklight marked their underground facilities, and then on September 15th, Merritt struck and damaged a fiber optic line providing internet service to a single business in Fargo. So between the correspondence, the staff, and Cable One, they reached a settlement agreement, and Sparklight, due to their violation in hitting that, is assessed a civil penalty of $1,000. And they shall remit the $1,000 payable to the Public Service Commission within 10 business days. So I recommend approval. I support staff's recommendation on this consent agreement.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I do have a question and a comment. What is that IRA, Internal Revenue Code? What do we have to report on that? It's number four in the order.
You know, I don't know. I'm unclear. Maybe
I'll follow up with.
Maybe staff can come down and answer that.
I'm sure it's right. I just am curious, but. The other thing that I do want to point out, I'm not going to resist this. And I know over the years we've sort of evolved kind of a penalty program where various things fit in, that we don't just come up with these things arbitrarily, either in what we would agree to in a consent order or what we would assess if we held the case all the way to the end. I don't remember if we've had one quite like this, but, you know, and some of them are very low, and some of them, especially dealing with natural gas or something that serves a lot of people, where you not only have enormous danger, but also inconveniencing or harming a lot of people, are, of course, much higher. In this case, where it was the owner of the fiber line that didn't adequately mark their own property, so they ended up suffering the loss, and it's fiber, so it's not like a gas line that could have harmed the excavator or something, and it's the first ever offense. I frankly have never even heard of this company. It seems like this penalty is kind of on the high side, since they are absorbing all of the consequences. So as we evolve our penalty phase, I just think this is an example of one that's kind of high.
Randy, interesting that you mentioned that, because I had the same reaction when I read it. I went back and thought, oh, was this a second offense, or is there something about this that warrant? Because I feel like we've had first offenses that were more about around the 500 range. But again, I don't have the list of them to be able to say. It's just my sense. So my sense is the same, that on first offense for something like this, it's on the high side. But I, too, am going to support it.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion?
It looks like we might have an Internal Revenue answer.
So you are correct that is something new. We've started adding to our orders, and the reason why is this was kind of a collaborative effort between the tax department, OMB, and other state agencies. They advised us that there was a section in the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act that I think passed many years ago, but it only went into effect last calendar year. And basically, any time you assess a fine to a company, that has to be reported to the IRS, so they can't claim that payment, I think, as income.
So it's an additional reporting requirement that's been put on our agency. And so in order to meet that, what we've said is we need them to submit basically their tax ID information so we can then report that to OMB, who reports on behalf of the state. So that is a new
who
section.
Who would get the income? Who would be reporting it as income?
The company.
It's not income. They're paying it.
You're right. It's not, but the IRS doesn't want them claiming it. So in order to make sure that they're not claiming it on as income on one end, they're making us fill out reports to basically say, yes, we find them, basically. So it's a new IRS reporting requirement that came down as part of the Tax Cut and Jobs Act.
You think they would report it as an expense?
Right. Yeah. How would it be income in any way? They're paying it out.
Well, I think they can't use it as the companies can't try to write it off as like a deduction for tax purposes.
So it wouldn't be an expense.
That makes better sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, right.
Got it.
Okay.
Is there any further discussion?
I just have to say one more thing. Meanwhile, we're on Call Before You Dig. April is Safe Digging Month, and I think with the late spring that we are experiencing, I hope people just keep that in the forefront of their mind throughout the whole summer, anytime they're digging or excavating, that call before you dig, always.
Even if it's not in April.
Even if it's not any time.
Right.
It was a plug for Safe Digging Month in April, but we've been delayed, but always, always, Commissioner.
Good. Very good point.
Is there any further discussion?
As one of our predecessors apparently said one time, it's always better to call 811 before you dig than to call 911 after you dig.
That's true. Very true.
Very true. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the Commission adopt the order in Otter Tail Power Company 2023 Renewable Resource Cost Adjustment Factor Rates, case number PU22-429.
Second.
On December 30th, 2022, Otter Tail Power Company filed an application to change its renewable resource cost recovery rider rate. The proposed rate reflects costs through May 31st, 2024, related to investments in the Maricot Wind Energy Project, the Ashtabula 3 Wind Farm, and a true-up of unused production tax credits associated with Ashtabula and Langdon Wind Energy Facilities. Otter Tail proposed its increase from the current charge of 7.108% to 15.541% effective April 1st, 2023. The effect of the rate change of the bill for a residential customer using 1,000 kilowatt per hour is an increase of $5.77 per month. So the commission issued a notice of opportunity, and that was on February 8th. Then starting in March, we held some meetings. Midwest Large Energy Consumer, MLC, filed comments. Then on the 16th, with the comments filed, the commission discussed this with Otter Tail, MLEC, and the commission staff. Otter Tail then filed an updated rate proposal. And then on March 27th, MLEC filed additional comments, and then the commission issued a second notice of opportunity for hearing. And again, we had discussions with that, and based upon those findings, I'll go through some of the discussion and just the order, just so you know. Based on the informal hearing and the information provided, the commission determined that there would be no change to the jurisdictional allocation used in the renewable resource cost recovery rider. We generally don't see an adjustment in the jurisdictional allocator, or in Otter Tail's case, their E2, during affecting the rider. It's usually we see it during a rate case, and because of the percentage, we didn't feel it was appropriate. However, we do find that the revenue requirement is appropriate, and we are approving that. So the commission determined that there would be no change to the jurisdictional allocation used in the renewable cost recovery rider, but the revenue requirement is approved, and to delay the implementation to May 1st, 2023 resulted in the revenue requirement of $12.2 million and the rider rate of 12.157%. Wow. As a result of this change, the residential customer using 1,000 kilowatt per month would experience a rate increase of approximately $3.46. So hopefully that described this appropriately for you on what we are approving on this renewable resource cost recovery rider for customers at Otter Tail. And I recommend approval.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
No, I think, as Sherry said, and just to reinforce the final increase being approved today is not what the company asked for, which was 15.5% and a $5.77 per month per customer, a residential customer increase, but rather a 12.2% increase in the revenue requirement and $3.46 per average residential customer. There's a lot of numbers going around. Yeah. I just want to make sure that the correct ones, if any reporters are listening, are reported.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you. I move the commission amend the March 29th, 2023 order in Northern States Power Company Customer Credit DOE Settlement 2021 Application Case Number PU23-044.
Second.
Thank you. So I'm really going to recap this. Initially on February 2nd, NSP filed a petition for their approval to refund the customers on their 13th settlement payment arising from the Department of Energy. And on March 29th, we went through and we accepted that order. And 2 days later, we accepted that order on March 29th, as stated. 2 days later, on March 31st, NSP filed a request for a modification to modify their order with a new processing date of no later than June 1st, 2023 through May 31st, 2024. So just to recap, this has been an ongoing issue with NSP doing this refund, and last year we spent a lot of time with them to refund their payment, and when they filed this year, we readily accepted their petition and issued an order, and like I said, 2 days later, they filed and said, oh, we can't comply with that. We are not ready to authorize the payment, so they asked for an extension. We're going to grant it, the extension, because after review, they can't do it. NSP can't do it, even though this was their idea on how to authorize it. I'm a little discouraged with this request, but like I said, we'll grant it. And I'm hoping that the 14th payment will go much smoother and require less staff time on reviewing this and looking at different options. We did look at not granting this and if there would be penalties, but we decided that at this time, due to the severity of it, it wasn't severe enough, and we just need to move forward and be efficient with our staff time. And I hope NSP in the future will be more compliant with the request that they ask of us and with our issuance of an order.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Well, I will just say, you mentioned we'll grant it. I'm still hoping that we don't. I'm not voting for it. I just think this kind of thing, we cannot let start happening. It's one thing if we work through a process and maybe do not realize the consequences of something in an order, and we issue it, and you know, whether it's our fault or the company's fault, but the communication wasn't adequate, and so we didn't realize that this is impossible or very problematic for them, and they come and want us to redo an order and do something different. In this case, we gave them exactly what they want when they wanted it.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
As you said. These are the people who came up with the new metering program whereby none of their customers are going to get any kind of meter reading every month so they can actually see something of what they had used. We're supposed to trust them. They're these technological geniuses, but they come in with an order, and when we give them what they want, when they want it, they come, "Oh, we can't do that. Where's all this great technology? Well, why couldn't they?" As far as I'm concerned, we gave them the order. They'd better start. I think we should reject this. They should start following that order as quickly as possible, and when the amount of problems that their failure to follow it has caused are fully realized, we'll deal with the consequences with them then. But if we start this where we issue orders and then they come and say, we can't, come up with a new order that's more convenient for us, we're going to be doing this all the time.
Well, I hear your frustration, but in this case, I don't necessarily share it to the degree that you guys both feel frustrated with NSP on this. I mean, absolutely, we gave them what they had asked for, but from my understanding, there was more of a miscommunication among staff, and they've got some new people on board who maybe didn't check with the right folks to get the proper indication on whether this was whether this was doable in that time frame or not. And so I guess there's interest being collected on this balance. I did ask staff about that. And so the money that is rightfully going back to the ratepayers is collecting interest, and that will be returned to the ratepayers when it ultimately gets completed. And I guess my preference is to grant them the extension, and with a firm request that they get it done, not at the end of the extension, but as quickly as they possibly can, which at this point, I don't know that there's much more than they can do, but to process it as quickly as they can, and to, you know, ensure that in the future when you're making commitments to timeframes, that it's been vetted through the appropriate people in the company.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay.
Nay.
Motion is approved.
I move the commission suspend the rate and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Otter Tail Power Company Generation Resource Cost Recovery Rates, case number PU23-83.
Second.
Thank you. On March 1st, 2023, Otter Tail Power Company filed an annual update under its Generation Resource Cost Recovery Tariff. The proposed rate update for 2023 includes actual and forecasted costs through June 2024 for the Astoria Station Natural Gas Plant Project and net savings associated with the retirement of Otter Tail Power Company's Hoot Lake Plant. Otter Tail proposes to recover approximately $2.2 million during the recovery period of July 1st, 2023 through June 24th. The decrease for the residential customer using 1,000 kilowatt per hour would be 74 cents per month. Those interested are invited to comment on the application in writing. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for the hearing must be received by June 12, 2023. If deemed appropriate, the Commission can determine the matter without a formal hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That ends my portfolio.
Commissioner Fedorchak.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Christman. I move the Commission adopt the order in One Oak Rockies Midstream LLC, amended certificate number 203 and route permit number 213, citing application case number PU-23-015.
Second.
So on April 30th of 2018, the Commission issued a permit for this to One Oak for a 45-mile, 12-inch diameter natural gas liquids pipeline and associated facilities in Williams and McKenzie counties. This is known as the Cherry Creek Pipeline Project. In January of this year, One Oak filed an application to amend this corridor certificate and route permit in order to construct a 4-mile Cherry Creek Extension Pipeline Project that would originate at One Oak's existing Lonesome Creek gas plant and terminate at the existing Antelope Creek Pipeline Junction in McKenzie County. The Commission issued a notice of opportunity for a hearing that provided until March 24th for comments or requests for a hearing. We also had an informal hearing on March 9th with the company to discuss this. No comments or requests for a hearing were docketed in response to the notice. The company went through the pretty much standard procedures in pursuing these the amendments to this line. A vast majority of the project is going to take place in existing approved corridor, and so for the portions that are going outside of that existing corridor, the company conducted additional studies and got the proper approvals from the appropriate agencies in advance. This project will increase the flow rate of the existing Cherry Creek pipeline from approximately 50 barrels per day of incremental throughput up to 70,000 barrels per day of NGLs. And the maximum design capacity of the project is 160,000 barrels per day. So this is an example of the a company, you know, making tweaks to its existing infrastructure and investments to maximize the benefit for the industry and maximize the amount of throughput that those facilities can have. So in that respect, I think it's a good thing. And I believe that the company has gone through all the appropriate reviews, both environmentally and culturally, and gotten the approvals from the appropriate agencies needed to ensure that their project is being completed in a way that minimizes impact to the environment and the people living near it. There are no exclusion areas impacted by the project. There is one avoidance area, that is a residence located within 500 feet of the project route, and they have received a waiver from that residence. The project will utilize a supervisory control and data acquisition system to monitor pressure and temperature 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days per year by trained controls professionals. And they will conduct inspections, including aerial inspections and inline inspections, in accordance with the requirements of FIMSA. They're going to be part of the North Dakota One Call notification system. And most importantly, they're going to use best management practices to minimize potential introduction or spread of invasive species and noxious weeds in the corridor. So with that complete, I think this application is ready for approval.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Well, it sounds pretty thorough in there toward the end, but I'm going to point out one other thing that made me laugh about this. This is the second laugh I got out of this case. It was nothing good or bad particular, but I just, out of all the siting of pipelines up in McKenzie and Williams County that we've done over the years, this one, as soon as I started, I just remembered it. And I saw that date of, it's 5 years ago this weekend when we approved this, and it was a 17 case number, so it was five. I actually double checked that. I thought, I would have guessed that was 2 or 3 years ago.
I know, isn't that crazy?
It's just kind of amazing. Yeah, some of these projects, it seems like we just did, that are already being enhanced or optimized in the case of the language of another pipeline company used.
Yeah, it was an opportunity for me to go back and evaluate your work.
Which you found to be thorough.
Very thorough, along with this order.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. All right. My last order. I move the commission issue a notice of filing and notice of opportunity for hearing an Otter Tail Power Company amended Langdon Wind Upgrade Siting Application, case number PU-23-86.
Second.
Okay, so in May of 2007, well before even Randy and I got here, the commission issued findings of fact, conclusions, law, and order on and a site certificate for site certificate number 6 to Langdon Wind LLC, authorizing the construction of up to 159 megawatts for the Langdon Wind Energy Center in Cavalier County, North Dakota. Then a year later, we issued an order granting partial certificate transfer of and a certificate of site compatibility number 8 to Otter Tail Power for ownership of about a third of that 40.5 megawatt portion of the Langdon Wind Energy Center in Cavalier County. Then in March of this year, Otter Tail filed with us an application to propose repowering the 27 existing 1.5 megawatt GE77 meter rotor diameter blades, hubs, and gearboxes with upgraded 1.5 megawatt GE97 meter rotor blade hubs and rotor diameter blades, hubs, and gearboxes. They've changed a couple of times, so I'm looking at my old notes because that is the latest size that the company is proposing, the 97 meter rotor blades, hubs, and gearboxes. So on April 18th, Otter Tail find amended. Oh, no, there's a new size. So bottom line, they're looking at upgrading these things to different sized blades, hubs, and gearboxes. And so we're sending out this notice of opportunity for hearing to see if anybody has any concerns about this. Comments, requests for a hearing must be received by June 10th. And my understanding is, and my assumption is, that the facility will use larger blades and the wind towers will change. But the actual output from the project will remain the same in terms of megawatts, because I'm assuming that's tied to their interconnection agreement. So, but these projects do have they do change the look of these facilities, and there may be different landowners out there who are interested. So if you have any concerns, please let us know. We'd be happy to hear from you. And if we deem it appropriate, we can determine an outcome on this case without a hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That's okay. It for me.
Mr. Oh. Chair?
Yes, sir.
Do you intend to do a dissenting opinion?
I think my comments pretty well speak for themselves.
Thank you.
A few announcements that I want to make. Starting next week on Monday through Friday, but I do want to point out if someone is particularly planning things around the Montana-Dakota Utilities 2022 electric rate increase case, and that is PU 22-194, when we have our admin meeting, I am going to bring up the possibility of just altering the schedule a little bit, if it's okay with the parties. But as of now, it is scheduled for all 5 days next week, Monday through Friday, starting at 8:30 a.m. in this hearing room, every day at 8:30 a.m. After that, on Tuesday, May 9th, the following week, we have our fourth formal hearing on the SCS Carbon Transport Midwest Carbon Express CO2 pipeline. That's case number PU 22-391. It will start at 9 a.m. on Tuesday, May 9th, and that is at Linton at the Emmons County Courthouse. And then just 2 days later, on May 11th, is our next regular commission meeting, and yes, it is on Thursday, despite it being a regular meeting. There was something else that shifted it back, so emphasize that. That concludes the announcements. We will stand in recess and take some questions from the press and then return for the administrative portion of our meeting.